Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. So thank you for joining me today. Make sure you like our channel, share with your friends. We really appreciate it. God's doing some great work with Calibrate Ministries, and we appreciate you being a part of it. So today I'm going to talk about parents and family members of prodigal children, mostly obviously LGBTQ children. I have such a heart for parents, and so much of our ministry has evolved around walking alongside parents whose kids come out of the closet as gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever it may be. And it's such a difficult situation to navigate for all parents. And I see that burden that they bear on a daily basis. We have our parents ministry that meets on Zoom, and this weekend there's just so much sorrow from some of the parents for what they're having to navigate and the choices they see their kids making and the deception in their kids' lives. I came across a verse recently, 3 John, verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth." And in fairness to the context, he's not talking about biological children. He's talking about disciples, children of the Lord. But I think that's still true. I can't imagine a greater joy than seeing our children walk in the truth with the Lord. And then on the flip side, there's very few greater sorrows than seeing our children not walk in truth, see our children who have been deceived and are going down a road of self-destruction, who've bought into the cultural lies. And so I have such a burden for the parents who are navigating this and having to go through life with that sorrow. This weekend, I was traveling for ministry. I just got back yesterday, had a great few days of really fruitful ministry. One of the things I did was give a ministry update at a church, and it was really great. Just had a few minutes. I love this church. I love the people. I shared a couple of stories about how God had been using Calibrate in the lives of people. One was in the life of an individual who has come to know the Lord and walked away from homosexuality. The other story I shared was about a family who just this summer were dealing with a situation with their daughter who was in a relationship with another woman, and it happened very quickly and unexpectedly. So I shared about how this family had really been equipped by Calibrate and so many other resources, and by their church to step into this situation and minister to their daughter. And within weeks, she had come to repentance and God was doing some great work in her life. And so we celebrate that. And it was a story worth celebrating. And I rejoice in how God used Calibrate just in a small way as part of this journey for this family. And that is worth celebrating that. And I don't want to deny that. But as I even stood up on stage and looked out at the people, it's like, I know many of these families. And some of them have kids who are LGBTQ who have not yet repented, who are still walking in deception. And my heart breaks for them. And I never want to share a story like I shared on Sunday of, a child coming to repentance and let it be condemnation for the family who hasn't experienced that yet. And so today, I just want to give encouragement to those families. I want to honor them and love them and help them see that the Lord is near them. Even when their child hasn't repented, and sometimes their family life is kind of a wreck because of that. And sometimes there's broken relationships. I was reading a lot in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to get to some of it at the end, but see, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And so there's no condemnation for parents whose kids are walking in sin. And we don't blame parents for their child's sin. Instead, we bear those burdens with them and we go on this journey with them and we apply the gospel to those parents' lives in this process. And so I just want to point out some of the successes that I see in these parents and these families. Sometimes it's not parents, it's family members, brothers and sisters, you know, grandchildren. And so I want to celebrate the successes that they're having and honor that, because many of them have been faithful in this journey for decades. I walk alongside family members that, you know, it's been 10, 20, 30 years since their child came out of the closet, and they're still praying for their repentance. And for a family to stay faithful to God for that long, you know, maybe decades, that's something to celebrate. God honors that. There is a steadfastness there and a faith there that the world needs to see on display. And they're still bearing this burden. And sometimes it's hard for them to share that with others because it's been so long, you know, but it's still a burden when your child is walking in deception and brings a deep sorrow. But we want to honor those parents and families that continue to stay faithful to the Lord. We see so many families that give in, that become affirming of LGBTQ ideology because of their children and family members who are living it, and they're swayed by the world. And it's tragic because they're really ruining their testimony and they're contributing to someone's sin, and they will be held responsible for that. So when we have so many of these families who haven't given in, they haven't been swayed by that ideology, we celebrate that and we honor them and we encourage them to keep running that race. Keep running that race, because there is a reward at the end of it, and God will honor that faithfulness. Whether it's on this side of, you know, eternity or on the other side of eternity, God will honor that by them upholding the truth and staying faithful to the truth of God's word. Many times these situations come with just such huge burdens to bear when our sin causes consequences. And so I see many parents who are bearing the burdens of their child's sin and ways the church need to come along beside them. And I think that speaks highly of the parents when they're able to love their child and bear their child's burden, even though their child's burdens many times have come from their own choices and sin. But the burdens in my life come from my own choices and sin. And so we all suffer the consequences of our sin, even though we are forgiven. Sometimes there's earthly consequences. And I see so many parents helping bear that burden with their kids to be a light for Jesus. And that is something that we celebrate. And as the church, when we see those parents who are walking this journey, we should encourage them. We should love them. We should bear their burdens with them as well. That there's so many different aspects of walking this path as a parent that can be difficult. And you have the, you know, their church to deal with, their community, their family. You have extended family and what they think. These are all things we talk about in our parents' ministry. And sometimes God uses it to expose things in our own hearts. And, you know, when I talk about that aspect, I never want to put shame on to parents as if like you're not doing good enough. But no, I want you to experience God's grace by allowing him to expose places that we can grow. And we celebrate that. That's by God's grace that he exposes what's going on in our hearts so that we can surrender it to him. One area where I see parents growing and as they're ministering to their kids is just giving up control to God, you know, and especially for parents of adult children, there's a lot of different kind of expectations for parents of, you know, minor children, where when you're kids are still in your home, there's a responsibility to protect them and you have much more control over them. And that's so hard to navigate too. And we're seeing more and more younger kids obviously come out of the closet and navigate sexuality issues. And so that is also obviously extremely difficult for parents. But some of the parents that I minister to, their kids are already adults. And so there's a different relationship with your adult kids. You don't have the control. And even when they're minors, you still have to give up control in some ways to God and trust that God is going to do the work in their hearts. But especially amongst adult kids, it's like we give up control. We have a different relationship. We don't have the authority over them. We become more of a mentor to them, a coach to them, a cheerleader for them. And as parents, we want to be there for them. We want to love them. But we have to give up control. And that's a process for parents. And I see parents growing in that. And when we give up our own control, we're really giving control over to God. And so we can surrender the control that we desperately wish we have. And we can trust in God in new ways. Another way that parents can grow during this process is examining their own identity, examining where do I get my hope? What am I living for? What emotions is this bringing up in me? And sometimes I've been able to see parents where they realize that their identity was in their image. And so they'd work through what will my church think? What will my small town think? What will my community think if they know that my child is gay? And that's an opportunity for parents to grow and find their identity in Christ. And again, that's an area where we want to show so much grace and encourage parents and be part of the process of those parents and other family members' growth as they surrender their identity to the Lord, as they allow God to make them whole and find their identity in Him. That is by His grace, and we embrace that process, even though it sometimes can be painful. And as they're bearing out that pain, then we bear that burden with them. And that's not all parents, you know. I never want to put them in a box, but we all have blind spots and weaknesses. And when we go through trials in life, it's like there's so much in the Bible about trials, and it builds character and perseverance. And so we embrace that process. And we, as the church, need to embrace that process with parents and family members who are navigating these situations with their prodigal children. And we encourage them in their identity in Christ. And we don't perpetuate a church culture that's about image, about this image that we have a perfect family or that we're perfect parents. Like, no, you allow them to let their guard down and to be honest and real, and you affirm them and who God made them to be, and don't add on to the burdens they have to bear by making them think that they have to maintain some type of image or that they're less than because of the lifestyle that their child is living. One of the burdens I see parents having to figure out is how do we maintain relationships with our kids, and at what cost? What boundaries do we have to set? And that is so hard because it's different in different situations. And, you know, I encourage parents and people who have, you know, someone in their life who's LGBTQ, we want to maintain a relationship best as possible. We want to be able to have influence over them. We want to not have any additional barriers. We want to be, you know, a light for the gospel. But there are times when we have to set boundaries, and those boundaries can cause, you know, our adult children to reject us. And that is a deep, deep burden. And those boundaries can look different in different situations, and we have to use wisdom into what is healthy and what's not. And that's why we can't just have a one-size-fits-all. We need to be able to apply wisdom on a case-by-case basis, and different parents might come up with some different boundaries that they need for their families. You know, the topic of, if I ever go to my child's same-sex wedding, most time, I think that we shouldn't go to those weddings, but I'm going to leave that for a parent's conscience and what they believe is best for their witness to their child and their relationship with their child. And so so many times we want black and white answers, but no, we have to be led by the Spirit. We have to use biblical principles and apply those principles in all these different situations. And so, so that's hard for parents to figure out those boundaries. There's And what I've seen many times as they're trying to maintain relationships with their kids keep demanding more and more, which shouldn't be surprising because they're deceived. They're living in deception. They don't view things rightly. Those of us who know Jesus and have the Holy Spirit, and we still don't always view things correctly. And so it's so much more for, you know, people who are, especially if your kids aren't believers, they're walking in deception. They won't see things rightly. And I see kids make demands on their parents that their parents just can't, you know, go through with. I see that with transgender kids where, you know, they make all these demands. You have to call me this name and use these pronouns. Well, then parents accommodate that and then it's not enough. And so you have to take down all the pictures in your house of me. And like parents are like, no, I can't do that because I know who you are and I can't pretend like you're someone else. You know, it might be a demand to go to the same-sex wedding. And we can apply different boundaries in different situations, and we can use wisdom in doing that. And parents need the body of Christ to come along beside them and show them grace in that. And those boundaries are going to be different in different places. And sometimes when we set the boundaries that we believe are correct, the children reject the parents and there's broken relationship and there's a deep sorrow there that we should be, giving hope to these parents and bearing the burden with them and mourning with them. I don't know how many times this episode I'm going to say, you know, bearing their burdens and mourning with them because it needs to be said so many times. Many times parents can learn through those situations. Many times when I see people who are trying to figure out what boundaries to set with unrepentant sinners, especially LGBTQ people. Many times I do question the boundaries because I think that sometimes the boundaries that we set, the ways that we think we should interact with them or not interact with them, sometimes come from their own maybe self-righteousness, their own comfort. Sometimes we set the boundaries way too far out because we want to keep those people at a distance. And we need to work through that. We need to repent of that. We need to understand which boundaries are honoring to the Lord, are honoring to these individuals, which boundaries are actually fruitful and which ones aren't. And we have to examine our hearts. And we should always be doing that. That's not blaming a parent or anyone else for the situation. In all circumstances in life, we should be examining our heart and helping the Holy Spirit convict us of how am I interacting with this person? Is this fruitful? Is this good? Are my boundaries actually healthy and for their good? Or is it for my own comfort? Is it for my own image? It's like those are things that we should be examining. God gives us the grace to examine them and apply His grace to our lives in those situations. There's so many different traps that we can fall into in walking through life as Christians. And so as when parents are walking through this, they should be aware of some of those traps. And as the rest of us are walking through these situations with people in our life, we need to be aware of different traps too. And we need wise counsel to speak into us, to examine our hearts, to understand how are you processing this? Where are you getting this from? You know, you think you need this boundary with this person. Okay, is that a healthy boundary or not? Is that actually for everyone's good or is that for your own comfort? Like we should invite community into our life to examine that with us. And bear that burden and apply the gospel and help us take steps that are hard. And then, you know, as we navigate this road, whether it's with a child or a brother, sister who's gay or, you know, just a friend, anyone in our life, you know, there's these paths we go down and we can go off the ditch in so many different directions. You know, on one side, we can be too hard-hearted and judgmental, and it's our attitude towards them is coming from a place of self-righteousness, and we need to repent of that, and we need to understand our own sin and our own need for the gospel, and our own need for the gospel should give us massive amounts of compassion for people who are living in deception. And so it's a, these situations reveal some of that self-righteousness. Sometimes, you know, especially with parents, like I said earlier, control issues, like I just want to control this situation. And we have to apply the gospel to that and understand what is in my control and what is not in my control. And usually when we examine that, it's like, well, it's less in control, you know, than I think, than I would like. And we have to give up control to God. But then there's so many other ditches we can go into. Sometimes I see people who aren't in the self-righteous mode, or they're not in the control mode. I have to fix this right now. But sometimes they respond by becoming indifferent. They just no longer care, or they no longer believe that their child can repent of their sin and be transformed. And we don't want that either. And sometimes that can masquerade itself as peace. It's like, oh, well, I just have peace about the fact that my child is living this way. It's like, sometimes I think that peace is actually indifference. And so for you parents, like, let people walk alongside you and please believe that your child can come to know Jesus. They can repent of their sin. They can be transformed. That's what we should pray for them. That's what we should be yearning for. That's what we should be on our knees asking God for and believing that he can do it. And that's a hard road because it's so much easier just to become indifferent or hard-hearted, because then we can kind of quit caring, right? We can not have to feel the sorrow. But the road that I believe is the most biblical in which we should go down is the one in which we continue to feel a burden for our child that has to be surrendered to the Lord. And that's hard, but it takes dependence on God. But that's in God's grace. He has us there in dependence on him. Many times, parents try to bear too much of the burden for believing that they can fix their child. And so we have to trust that God can bring the right people in their life. And obviously this is different when it's a minor child living in your home versus an adult child. When there is a minor child that's under our authority, you know, we have to set strong boundaries and control what's happening in our home. With an adult child, many times it's not the parent that ends up reaching them, and that's okay. We trust that God can use the right people at the right time. And so we want to be open to have that influence on our child. We want to make sure that we don't create barriers for our children that are unnecessary. So we examine our hearts there, but we pray for the right people in their lives to invest in them, to walk alongside them, to share the gospel, to soften their heart. And then we rejoice when God provides that. And we have to be at peace with whatever our part is, whether it's a big part or a little part. I think that for parents, some of these boundaries are so hard to figure out. How we move towards our kids who are adults and out of the house, what authority we have, takes wisdom in every single situation. You know, I see as I read through the story of the prodigal son in the Bible, the father didn't go chasing after his child. And I still believe that we maintain a relationship, you know, and we, if we can, and the child allows it. And when there's broken relationship, we examine, is there anything I could have done better or different? And that's not blaming ourselves, but we should do that with all broken relationships in our lives. Like, is there anything I could have done different? Is there anything I need to learn from this? That's just part of being a disciple who walks in humility and grace and is open to the Lord changing our hearts and continuing to transform our hearts into his likeness. And so we can examine that area of our hearts without blaming ourselves for our child's sin. And that's hard to do because we can get off track on one side of the ditch or another where, my child's sin is not my responsibility. And we become hardened towards having a good influence on them. And we also miss out on what God wants to teach us. And so we don't want that to happen. What I do see in the story of the prodigal son, he said, the father was prepared for his son to come home, right? I don't think that the response from the father, the loving response of embracing his son with open arms and responding with so much grace, that doesn't happen overnight. That takes a lot of time to build the type of faith and maturity to bless our children the moment they come home. And so I think a good vision for parents of prodigal kids is to build a type of home that they can come home to, that they can come running to, where we will be ready to celebrate them. And when they come to repentance, whether it's in years or decades, we are in a place to apply the gospel in their lives. And so many times we need some discipleship to come to that place. We need God to do some work in our own lives. And in the meantime, we might have to trust our children to the Lord in a limited relationship with them. And there's that sorrow to bear in that. And there's pain in that. And at the same time, we allow the Lord to grow us in a way that is going to prepare us to be that prodigal father who welcomes our child with open arms and is able to walk alongside them as they rebuild their lives and as they seek the Lord. And I've seen God restore their relationships with so many kids and their parents. And it's such an incredible blessing to have parents who have the maturity to be a part of your discipleship once you bow your knee to Christ. And some parents aren't in that place, and God provides other people. But I think my encouragement for parents in that vision is it might not seem like you're having an impact on your child now, and so much is out of your control, but continue growing in maturity so that you can be a gospel hope for your child at some point when they do come to repentance, and continue to grow in maturity. And that means shedding off, self-righteousness, getting rid of the anger that sometimes we have for our kids. We have to put those old things away, and we have to grow in maturity. And when I think parents do that, they're in a great position to then minister to their repentant kids. And part of that, of being prepared for that, is holding to the truth on biblical sexuality. I think I've said this before on here, is that when parents become affirming, then it's tragic because they're no longer in a place to then walk alongside their repentant children, because they're actually contributing to their child's sin. They're actually affirming their child's sin. So it's like, if my mom and dad were affirming my homosexual lifestyle, and then I come to the end of myself and I repent, it's like, I can't have someone who affirms of homosexuality walk me through repentance and apply the gospel to my life. And so I want parents to be in that place apply the gospel to their repentant kids' lives. And in the meantime, I see parents who God has used this in their lives in so many ways, and we don't want it to happen this way. Just like any tragic events, any hardships in our lives, we didn't choose that. We don't want that, but God can use it in so many ways. And God uses it to grow their compassion, their grace towards people, their grace towards kids and what their kids are going through, and what other people's kids are going through. I've seen that come out in so many parents, and I celebrate that and I rejoice in that. I know that these aren't the circumstances that these parents would want to have gotten into that place, but I see God using their circumstances to build hope and to build character, just like it talks about in Peter. And so let's embrace that in the midst of the struggle. I also see sometimes, I think with tragic situations, we kind of sometimes are dismissive of the pain. Like, well, I'm determined that God's going to use this for his glory. And sometimes we use that to actually dismiss pain and not acknowledge the pain. So it's okay for you parents to acknowledge the pain and acknowledge the hardship and to mourn with sorrow and let people come alongside you, whether that's our parents ministry with Calibrate, your church, your pastor, some trusted friends. Let people mourn with you and bear the sorrow with you. As I was thinking through this and praying through this, I'm just going to end with this. A passage that came to mind also came from Romans chapter 8. And I think that this sums up so much of what parents of prodigal kids have had to walk through. And they see it. They see it firsthand. Romans chapter 8, starting verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, for the redemption of our bodies. For this, in this hope, we were saved. New hope that is seen is now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Gosh, parents of prodigal kids, have experienced the groaning of this world, the futility of people's minds, and we eagerly await with hope that God has something great for our future, especially with eternity in mind. That is our great hope. And so I want to encourage all of you parents who might be listening that there is hope. Cling to the hope you have in Jesus. Cling to eternal promises. Be honest about the pain and the sorrow you're dealing with. Find help. Allow other people to enter into that and bear those burdens with you. It is worth it, I promise. And for everyone else who's not the parent of a prodigal who's listening, be the type of people who will bear one another's burdens. Give grace to parents whose families are struggling. Create a church culture where they can be real and where they can be supported and where they can be honest and walk alongside them as they build more and more hope in Jesus. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening. If you are a parent of an LGBTQ child, please reach out, and we have our parents ministry that meets on Zoom. We'd love to have you part of that. It's a great place with so many wonderful parents who are bearing these burdens together. And also, we pray that you can build your hope in Jesus and that God would grow you in this situation, that God would reveal hard things in your life, in your heart, and that's by God's grace. So please, please accept and embrace that process. And we are with you, cheering for you, rooting you on every step of the way. And we love you because Jesus loves you, and God's grace is sufficient, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, make sure you share with your friends. Go to calibrateministries.com for more resources and to support the ministry. We rely on support from people like you, everyday donors who give sacrificially so that we can do what we do. So thank you so much for supporting us, for your encouragement, for your prayers, and please use this as a resource to give hope for a world that is hurting. Thank you.